This morning, I'm excited to worship and celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. We're celebrating victory over sin and death. We're victorious over the grave, and we have victory because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm excited to be worshiping this morning. I hope and pray that you will be excited about what God has done for each one of us. This morning, we're going to worship through song. I'm excited to have our choir. We'll be leading us here in a while in some familiar songs, some that you may not have heard before. I encourage you to worship with them as they lead us. I encourage you to join with us in singing these praise songs to our risen Savior. We're going to hear from God's Word how He spoke even thousands of years early that Jesus Christ would come and die for our sins and be resurrected again. We are here this morning to celebrate and worship. Amen?
Amen.
We want to worship this morning, and we're going to continue to do that by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You this Easter Sunday morning that You live. I thank You that You are a risen Savior, and I thank You, Lord, that even when we run away, even when we stray, we thank You that You call us back home to a new life because You live. Lord, I pray this morning that we would worship You truly, that we would come before You acknowledging the salvation that You give, and we pray that we would worship You truly. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Well, I am thankful to have a church that is so talented and so gifted, and I'm thankful that they share their talents with us. I'm also thankful that they didn't make me get up there and sing with them, because it would not have been a celebration had they done that. And I'm thankful that the sound guys know how to mute my microphone. I'm excited this morning. There's a lot of exciting things going on Easter Sunday morning. There's a lot of fun and excitement around this holiday. How many of you all got to experience Easter baskets this morning? Anybody have an Easter bunny come and visit you this morning? A handful over here. I know these guys did over here. There's one over there. There's some. We get excited. Nobody over in this section had Easter baskets this morning? Well, I tell you what, see what happens when you don't behave, you see? There's a lot of excitement about what's going on. How many of you all are planning a big meal after church this morning? Maybe some sort of lunch, eating some sort of Easter lunch or dinner. Now, all of you who don't have your hands up, look around to who does have their hands up, and you'll know where to go. There's a lot of excitement around Easter Sunday morning, and there's a lot of excitement because it is a holiday that we celebrate with family and friends. But we must remember that with all the excitement about the Easter bunny and the baskets and the food and the family, the reason why we are excited about Easter is because the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come to pay the price for our sins. He was crucified, buried, and on the third day, He rose again. And that is something to be excited about. We're actually wrapping up a series this morning, and if you've not been here for the previous 3 weeks, you're okay, because while they build off one another, this morning's message really stands alone. But we've been looking at the prophets, and as we've been looking at different prophets, we started off looking at the prophet Jonah. And as you read through Jonah, what you find is that God has a plan for you. He has a plan specifically tailored, something He wants you to do, something that only you can do because He's created you for it. Then the next week we looked in the book of Amos, and it was a very difficult passage to preach and to listen to, because what we found was, as people, as human beings, we've taken God's plan and we've kind of crumbled it up and thrown it aside. We've messed up God's plan, and we find that God cannot allow this sin in our lives that keeps us from fulfilling God's plan for us. Last week we looked at the prophet Micah. And as we're looking in Micah, we find this beautiful truth that even though we've taken God's plan and crumbled it up, even though we've run away from Him, we have learned that God never gives up on us. That He always pursues us and He always wants a right relationship with us. This morning, we're culminating our series on the prophets by looking at the prophet Isaiah. An Easter Sunday morning message that's not from one of the Gospels? Well, that's strange. But can I tell you this? Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the best passages on the gospel message. It's one of the best passages on Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and His resurrection. And so this morning I want to look at who the Messiah is through the eyes of Isaiah chapter 53. You know, a lot of good stuff comes from the Old Testament. There's a lot of good things that begin there and kind of are fleshed out. I had a professor in college. His name was Dr. Declavon. And Dr. Declavon, he had this theory that Peeps were the greatest things ever invented. Anybody else here agree that Peeps are some of the greatest things ever invented? He had this theory about Peeps. And his theory was this. Peeps are like manna from heaven in the Old Testament. Right? They are deliciousness that God has dropped on us. And here's how he justified it. The word manna has three consonants and two vowels. The word peeps has three consonants and two vowels. A coincidence, or is it God-given from the Old Testament? There's a lot of good things that come from the Old Testament. And this morning, I want to look at some of those things that come from the Old Testament. I want to look at the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. And if you will, turn with me there, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." This morning, as we look at the prophet Isaiah, we see that Jesus Christ is present even in the Old Testament. We see this Messiah who is coming, who is foretold to us, who would come and pay the price for our sins. The good news this morning is that even though we have run from God's plan, He has a way of calling us back. If you have your notes this morning, I want to look at three truths about the cross. And in your bulletin, you can follow along and see what the cross was, what the cross is, and what the cross will be. The first thing we see this morning about the cross is that it was premeditated. It was not an accident, but God purposefully sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. This was something that was part of His master plan. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, it says, "The Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a restitution offering, he will see his seed, he will prolong his days, and by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished." Look at that first phrase. The Lord was pleased to crush him severely. Is it odd for you to think that God purposefully allowed Jesus Christ to be crucified? That was his plan from the beginning. No, we often think of the cross as a tragedy. We often think of it as a time for mourning. But what we find is that the cross was premeditated. It was purposeful. It had intention. And God had a master plan all along. This morning, I want you to realize that although we have run away from God's plan in our life, God's plan is greater still. And He purposefully sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Secondly, as we look at the cross this morning, we see the cross is therapeutic. It's healing. The cross is something that takes what is damaged and makes it well again. In Isaiah 53 again, verse 5. We read this earlier. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Look at that phrase. We are healed by his wounds. You know, I'm of the assumption that this healing is a spiritual healing, but I also believe wholeheartedly that this healing is a physical healing as well. I believe that God's desire for us is that we be well for all of eternity. God's salvation heals us in every way. That doesn't mean that you will feel well or feel healthy all the time. That doesn't mean that God will miraculously cure you of all sickness or illness. That doesn't mean you can somehow avoid death. What it means is God's intention is to make you whole. God wants more for you than just simply to live out this life. He wants you to live out this life in Christ and to be made whole. The cross was or is therapeutic. There are worse things in this world than sickness and illness. And God's design was to make sure we never had to experience them. He wanted to heal our broken lives. Maybe this morning you're here, sitting here wondering, what about my life? God can heal a broken life. God can fix what's been done wrong, but you don't know the damage I've already done. You don't understand just how messed up my life has been. You don't understand that I am beyond healing. This morning, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven and we would be healed. In Scripture, we see men and women much worse off than any individual sitting here this morning. We see murderers, we see adulterers, we see those who have affairs, we see those who are rapists, we see those who are worst of the worst. We see those who are despised by men, those who are rejected because of their evil wickedness. And we see God reach down and heal their broken lives. There is no one in Scripture anywhere, and you can look everywhere you like, who comes genuinely seeking repentance, forgiveness, and life change that does not receive it. In the New Testament, we see several individuals who specifically have an encounter with Jesus looking to be healed. There was one woman who it says has been bleeding for years and years and years, and she could not stop her hemorrhaging, and she couldn't get to Jesus. And she was fighting through the crowds and she couldn't talk to him. Instead, she reached out and simply touched him as he passed by. Just simply reached out and touched him and she was healed. We see blind men who have never seen a day in their life who Jesus mixes mud on and washes their face and heals them. We see individuals who are unable to walk. We see miraculous physical healing. But the greatest power of healing we see in all of the New Testament may be in a man named Saul. Saul, who was a murderer of people who followed Christ. Saul, who pursued people who proclaimed to be Christians and saw them put to death. A man named Saul, whose whole life goal and mission, we come to find out, is to stop the cause that God has put on this earth. And we see him have an experience with Jesus Christ. His physical body may not have needed healing, but his spiritual body was transformed. We see Saul not just given a new life, given a new name. They rename him Paul to show that he is a new creation, that his old life is gone and his new life has come. And he experiences the cross as a therapeutic healing place. This morning, it does not matter how broken you feel your life is. Jesus Christ was sent to the cross to heal you and fix your broken life. Most glorious of all, we see the cross was premeditated. It was put before us. It is therapeutic and it heals and saves us. But just as important, the cross will be salvific. In other words, it has saving power. It is able to completely and totally bring you into a right relationship with God. The cross is more about your life today. The cross is more about what you're doing in this moment. The cross is about your salvation for all of eternity. And the cross is able to save. Look in Isaiah 53 again, verse 6. We read this just a moment ago. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Look at that specifically here at the last phrase. The Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. This morning in our Sunday school class, it's funny how things work out. My wife was teaching and she opened up the book and it was on wrath. That's everybody's favorite subject to talk about in church, isn't it? Wrath, right? Let's talk about sin and wrath and judgment. And as we're reading through this study and she's teaching this lesson to our class, we realize that God's wrath is holy, righteous, and justified. In other words, every bit of anger towards us is deserved. I don't know about you growing up, but I got my fair share of whoopings. Anybody in here get whoopings? I remember being young and so defiant. I can remember my mother telling me to lay down in bed and go to sleep. She'd physically put me on the bed, and no sooner did she turn around to get to the door that I was standing up with my arms crossed, right? Not playing, just standing by the bed. I would not lay down. I can remember times of her telling me to pick up my toys and purposefully just kicking them to the side just to get them out of the way so I could walk through my messy room. I can remember throwing fits because I didn't get what I wanted. I can remember kicking and screaming in public places and embarrassing my mother. And I can remember every single one of the whoopings I got because I deserved every single one. I made the mistake one time of telling my mom that her whooping didn't hurt. One time. It was the last time I ever made that mistake. Do you know what's interesting? I tease my mom all the time and I say, boy, you really whooped me good when I was little. But what I find is I deserved every single one of those. In the moment, I didn't realize it. At the time, it was unfair. Why can't I get this toy I want in the store? Why do I have to pick up this mess? Why do I have to go to sleep? I'm not tired. And I fought and I rebelled and I had no clue of my need to be obedient. Now looking back, I can see my mother disciplining me to bring me to a place of good behavior. You know, all of us are in the same boat and are standing before God. We all deserve the wrath that He gives. We all deserve the punishment that He puts in our lives. We all have iniquity or sin or this error against God that we are deserving of His wrath. But the cross not only heals us now, it saves us from the coming wrath and the coming judgment. It offers us a salvation that allows all of our guilt, our sin, and our shame to be transferred from our own lives and nailed to a cross, never again to have to stress, worry, or be guilty for. The cross will be salvific. It has saving power. It has forgiving power, and it makes us in a right relationship with God. Romans, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 gives us this promise. It says, "This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." You realize that the death on the cross was not just for those who believe, but for everyone, that they might have the opportunity to believe. God's will and God's plan, all the way back in the Old Testament, all the way to the year 2015, is that you know Him and have a relationship with Him. We also see in verse 6 that Jesus Christ gave Himself as a ransom for all. In other words, you, in your state, in your brokenness, in your sinfulness, have an opportunity to know this Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A couple of phrases in here that strike me. How simple it is to embrace the cross of Christ. There are two main purposes in this verse. If you want to know Christ, you have to, one, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. In other words, you say, God, I've messed up the plan in my life. I've done things my own way and it's not worked out well. I've justified my actions and I feel like I know what I should do and I'm doing things the way I feel like they should be done. But Lord, I'm confessing to you that you are the one who guides my life. I'm submitting to your will. I'm submitting to what you would have me to do. And then he says, if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. In other words, you trust that he will remove your sins, put them on the cross, and overcome sin and death through raising from the dead. The promise is not you have the opportunity to be saved, or you might be saved, or you're in the lotto drawing for salvation. The promise is if you confess Jesus as Lord and as Savior, you will be saved. This morning, we don't want to overcomplicate the cross of Christ. We don't want to overcomplicate what God has done for each one of us. What God has done for us has provided every single one of us a way to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, and to get our life on track with His will again. This morning, I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know whether you feel like it's broken and in shambles, or whether you're like me as a young child who didn't even realize you were running away. But I want you to look at the Scriptures and understand that although we are deserving of all that God would judge us for, He chooses to allow us to be forgiven and set free through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what's exciting about Easter. That's what's exciting about this holiday. Even more so than the food and the eggs, even more so than the family and the people, what's exciting about Easter is that we can know Jesus Christ and line our will up with the Father's. This morning, regardless of where you stand, I would ask you to ask the question, do I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior? Have I invited Him to change me? And have I embraced the cross of Christ? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank You so much that You forgive me of all of my sins through the cross. Lord, I thank You that I don't have to bear the wrath that I deserve. Lord, I thank You that even though I ran from You and I was blinded to my running, You saw my need for forgiveness and You sent Your Son. Lord, this morning I ask that You would help each one of us examine our hearts and see if we have trusted You to guide our lives and we've submitted to You as our Lord. Lord, I ask that You would help us examine our hearts to see if we have trusted You to forgive us of our sins, if we've leaned on You to heal us from our ungodliness. Lord, I pray this morning that the examples in Scripture, that the examples in real life, everyday 2015 activity would help us to see that You can save, that Your will is to save, and that Your cross makes it possible to receive salvation. Lord, I thank You for the Messiah. I thank You for His crucifixion for my sins. I thank You for His resurrection to overcome that punishment. And I pray that we would all embrace Him this morning. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to stand to your feet. And in this portion of the invitation, I want you to listen and think about what the cross means to each of us. Maybe this morning you're sitting here saying, my life is broken. My life is in shambles and I need Jesus Christ to be healing in my life. Maybe this morning you're ignorantly bliss to your need of a Savior. And I would like for you to examine your heart and say, am I deserving of whatever judgment may come? Lord, will You show me my need? And my prayer is that each one of us would leave here this morning knowing of Jesus Christ has saved us. Will you sing with us this morning?